We left off yesterday discussing Rav's position, which is Rama Rav Zarsh Kamatz Yachzir. So he said, who was Rav speaking about? The Gemara concluded he was speaking within the position of Ben Beterel. The Gemara says, well, Pshito, who is saying exactly what Ben Beterel said? So Gemara's conclusion was that Hakamashman Rav. Rav taught us one of two possibilities. I mean, opposite possibilities, because it's an ikadamri. One possibility is that Rav told us kamatz bafilu kidesh, that if the person does a kmitza and still is mekadesh it in a klisharet, you can still return it and redo the kmitza. That was one possibility, and he's arguing on the Tanaim of Rabbi Yosi ben Yassia and Rabbi Yehuda Nachtom. Or the ikadamri was that Rav said that Rabbi Ben Batero only said it when he did a kmitza. But if he after did the kmitza, he put it into a klisharet, it's mekadesh it, then you can't reverse the position, and it's similar to the position of Rabbi Yosi ben Yosi ben Yassin and Rabbi Yehuda Nachtom. On that, we ask, Matil of Rav Nachman, what's the position of these Tanaim? Why should it make a difference whether you put it in a cliche rate or not? What do they hold? Do they hold that the avoda of a pasul is nothing? It's meaningless, it's not efficacious, and therefore, when they do the kmitza, it makes no difference. If that's the case, then when they put it into the cliche rate, it also should make no difference. And they should be able to start over again with the mincha. Why is there a difference between what they do in the mitzah and what they do with the kiddush hakli? On the other hand, what do you believe? If you believe that what they do is an avodah, that whatever they do has meaning, it's pasul, but it has meaning, then even at the point of the kmitzah, they should influence the mincha to be pasul. Why do you have to wait until they put it into a cliche rate? So the answer, Rav Nachman says, the olam avodahi, that their actions are an avoda, but the process of the kiddush hakometz is not a singular action, but rather a process, which means you start with the being mafrish the kometz, and you end it with placing it into a cliche rate. So in order to be problematic, you have to do the entire process. So now what do you have here? They took off the kometz, and then they put it back into the mincha. There you're missing a part of the process, and therefore it's not problematic, and you can redo the kometz. What happens when they put it into a cliche rate? Well, they put it into a cliche rate, then they've completed the process of being mafrish the kometz and being mekadesh the kometz. In that case, it was done by a pasul. It's an avoda of sorts, meaning an avoda to be pasul, and you can't put it back in and restart. From that, Rabbi Yochanan said, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, zoto merit. From that, we can conclude that a cliche rate ain't mekadeshin al midat. Because after you're mafrish the kometz, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to bring a new cliche rate and place it inside that cliche rate in order to mekadesh the kometz. Instead, what are you doing? You're throwing it back into the original mincha. Well, the original mincha is sitting in a cliche rate. Why isn't that classified as putting the kometz into a cliche rate? And the mincha itself is not considered to be a hefsek because it's a min b'mino. So you throw it back into the original cliche rate. You should be the completion of the process. So from that, Rabbi Yochanan says that a cliche rate only works midat. Only if you intend for the cliche rate to be mekadesh will it work. Here you don't intend it for it to be mekadesh. You're throwing it back in order to nullify the kometz, not to be mekadesh the kometz. So on that, the Gemara says, hamidat mekadshin. Is that really true that when you do it midat, the cliche rate is mekadesh? The underlying assumption here, we had this question in Zvachim, the Gemara is going to quote a similar part of the Gemara from Zvachim as well, which is, do we know that the Mizbeach is Mekadesh? What does it mean that the Mizbeach is Mekadesh? What does it mean that the Kevesh is Mekadesh? That means Imalu Lo Yerdu. So we had a similar question the Gemara asked there, what's the din of a cliche rate? Does a cliche rate have the same din as the Mizbeach? If you place something into a cliche rate, it's Mekadesh, even though it wasn't Ra'oi. Even though it shouldn't have been good, shouldn't have been something that was kasher, nevertheless, the cliche rate has the power to be mikadesh something. And that's what the Gemara is asking here. Hamidat mikadeshin. That means that if you do something midat, cliche rate works to be mikadeshit. Baha bain minei Reish Lakish mir Rabbi Yochanan. Didn't Reish Lakish ask Rabbi Yochanan, cliche rate, mahushi kadshu psulim lechatchila likareiv? What is the din by a cliche rate? Is it mikadesh psulim lechatchila likareiv? V'amalei ain mikadshin, and he said over there that it's not mikadesh. So now, just so you know, that the Gemara in Zvachim is much more expansive, and the question actually goes through two stages. Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan, "Is a cliche rate mashu yikadesh?" And Rabbi Yochanan says, "Tanina," and he brings the Mishnah. He says that the cliche rate has the same din. Zbeach that imalulo yerdu, shem shem isbeach imalulo yerdu. So too by the cliche rate. So that's the first din. Rabbi, then Reish Lakish asks Rabbi Yochanan, "Cliche rate? I didn't want that. Mashu yikadesh psum lechatchila. I wasn't asking you, but I'm asking you lechatchila likarev." I didn't ask you if it's mekadeshit b'di'evet. I'm asking you if it's mekadeshit lechatchila likarev. And there he says, ein mekadshin. That's not what he says in the Gemara in Zvachim. The Gemara in Zvachim brings another Mishnah. It says, tanina. And then the Gemara rejects that Mishnah and says it's not a good comparison. So here is the Gemara. It's just giving you a summary of the conversation that transpired there in the Gemara in Zvachim. Over there in the Gemara in Zvachim, Rashi explains, what does it mean that it's mekadesh it? So Rashi says, "Bidiyevet it's mekadeshit that you can no longer be podet, since it takes on a kedusha the guf. It's no longer kedushat damim, and therefore you can no longer redeem the item once you place it into a kli sharek. That's what it means bidiyevet. And the chatchila would mean that you can place it on the mizbeach. And that was the question of Shlakish. Shlakish says, Rabbi Yochanan, I knew that already. What you're telling me that if there's no bidyon that I knew. The new din, what I want to know is, can you then be makrivit lechatchila? And on that it says in mekadshim." Tosafot there disagrees with Rashi and says that cannot be the explanation of the Gemara. See, there's a large Tosafot here as well that quotes Rashi from over there and discusses Rashi's perush over there. Here he's a little more defensive of Rashi's position, but nevertheless, he offers up alternatives in the Gemara. If you look in Zvachim, Rabbeinu Tam, and others offer up alternatives as what's being spoken about here, including the fact that maybe he brought it up onto the Mizbeach and there's a Kli Sharet underneath it. Is that considered to be a Malulo Yerdu? Is a Kli Sharet Kodesh enough that it's considered as if it's placed on the Mizbeach when you're up in the Avir Mizbeach or not? That's the type of question that's being asked. Be that as may, whatever the explanation of the Gemara in Zvachim is, the question of the Gemara here is, the assumption is that Rabbi Yochanan says when it's Shalom Midat, the Kli Sharet doesn't work. But it's Midat, the Kli Sharet does work. But Rabbi Yochanan himself, when asked by Rish Lakish whether a Kli Sharet works to mean Mekadesh Psulim, Likarev, he says, Ein Mekadshim, it doesn't work. So Amar Zei, Ein Mekadshim Likarev, Am Mekadshim Lipasel. The answer is yes. It works in some ways. It works. It doesn't work in other ways. It works in the sense that it is posel. That means that it brings into a position where now it will become pasul for any things that are pasul big kodesh. Meaning that things like can't reverse what you've done, problems of notar, problems of tevul yom, all those things that are entered into, once you enter into being kedushat haguf inside of a kli sharet, that does apply, even if a pasul is part of a kli sharet. But to allow it to be placed on the mizbeach, that a kli sharet does not do. So that's the compromise or the middle ground of Rabbi Yochanan, that a kli sharet does work midat, it works no matter what, midat, even on psulim, but it only works to a certain extent. It works enough that it makes a kedusha to move in order to allow it to be pasul, does not work strong enough or powerful enough to make it kasher, likarev, ala mizbeach.
Hold on, so the question was, when you throw back an old one, it's going to be pasul anyway.
Wait, does it really work, midat? Can you really be mekadesh anything, midat? Even if you have that, can you work to be mekadesh? Everything we know Rabbi Yochanan says, when you put psulim into a kli sharet, it's not mekadesh.
We're not attacking the original question. No. Okay, when you throw it back, it's pasul, because this question...
The original stands, it's just the one question was around the tzad, that midat mekadshin. Okay. That midat, a kli sharet works. We see Rabbi Yochanan says that midat doesn't work. So what's that? So here's the balance. It works to a certain extent, doesn't work fully when you do a midat, when you're dealing with psulim. Now we have an alternative answer to the problem. Rabbi Yochanan offered the first answer, which is otomeret, kli sharet mekadshin al midat. That was the first answer to our question of how it works here, according to these tanaim that say that it's a problem if you put it into a kli sharet. It's not a problem if you put it back in, or if it's just the kometz. So that was Rabbi Yochanan's answer, is that you need kli sharet midat. That was the way to solve that problem. It is a voda when the pasul does it, just question if you need kli sharet midat. So if you put it into a new kli sharet, problematic. If you put it in the old one, it's not problematic. Rabbi Amram offers up an alternative, kigon, shechzira l'bisa gedusha. So then he places it back into a bisa, which is a kli sharet that they mix the mincha in, that's gedusha, that is heaped above the walls of the kli, umikametz. And then he does the kometz. What's the idea? We learned this before, that when it comes to a kli sharet, it's only functional inside the kli sharet. So here if it's gadush, it's above the kli sharet, when you put it back in, it's as if you didn't put it into a kli sharet. So even if a kli sharet is mikadesh shalom midat, here you placed it back into the kli sharet in a manner that it didn't enter the kli sharet. So then you do mekametz. So Mara asks the obvious question. Well, hekikamatz, right. Either how do you do the kometz originally, or now when you return it, how do you do the kometz? I mean, if it's gedusha, it's on top. When you do the kometz, you're not redoing it because it's not inside of a kli sharet. So either way, how did this kometz work? Ella, must be kigon shechzira lebisa tfufa. That you returned it to a bisa that was flat. Flat meaning that it was up to the rim. That you place it back in. Became in the kometz law. So when you took out the kometz, you made it, left a hole, you left a depression in this. It was filled up to the rim. You take out a kometz, there's a missing piece that's left inside the kli. So then, when he puts it back in, it's going to go back into the internal side of the kli. If that happens, back to stage one. If you think that a kli sharet can be mekadesh shelo midat, and now what your suggestion is that you take out the kometz from this kli that is full to the rim, you take out the kometz and you place it back in, it goes back into that hole that was there, then you're placing it back into a kli sharet. You place it back into a kli sharet, that's mekadesh the kometz, and you have a problem. So how could that can't be the solution over here? So Mara says, now, kimahadale manochle adafno demano. He places it on the walls of the kli. Umani bla v'nafal memela, and he shakes the kli, and then it rolls into the depression that was left before. The nasik mishik zira kof. It's the equivalent of a monkey putting it back in to the kli sharet. So here, what the suggestion is that we have a kli sharet that's filled to the top, takes up a kometz that leaves a depression in there. Our problem is that kli sharet is now mikadesh shelo midat, according to Rav Amram, and he's trying to solve this problem even with kli sharet mikadesh shelo midat. So it can't be that it's above the rim of the kli sharet, because that's not called kiddush. That's not called putting it into a kli. It's not called taking a kometz out. So that won't work. So it has to go back into the kli sharet. Well, if it goes back into the kli sharet, then it's automatically mikadesh, and you have a problem with that kometz. So here's the middle road suggestion, which is he places it on the side. When he brings it back, the depression that he left is there. He does not place it back into the depression. He places it on the side above the walls of the kli sharet. So his placement as a human being with an active dot of placement did not go back into a kli sharet. Then he shakes the kli, and that kometz rolls back into the depression. When it rolls back into the depression, now it's back inside the kli sharet. And when you do the next kometz, you're taking it out of a kli sharet. So the placement into the kli sharet was, quote unquote, shelo midat, was not real placement because it was done mimela. It happened by itself. It was done as a passive return rather than an active return. But when you take out the new kometz, it's inside the kli and you can take it out. So that would be the solution to the problem, according to Rav Amram. It is mikadesh shelo midat, but that's only if a human being is placing it in. When it's done by a monkey, when it's done by itself, that's not called placement into a kli sharet. You need placement by a human being into a kli sharet, but it will be mikadesh afilu shelo midat. That's the distinction. Two different things. One's intent, and one is placement. For placement into a kli sharet, you need a human action of placement, meaning that you have to directly place it into a kli sharet. After that, it works, no matter what. Whatever you were thinking at the time, we don't care what you were thinking when you place it in. If you place it in, it works. And the kli sharet is mikadesh. If you don't actively place it in, then the kli sharet won't work to be mikadeshit. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu the Reb Zeira. Ve'lukma. Kigon she'gzira the kli amunach al gabei karka. So Rabbi Yirmiyahu suggests to Rabbi Zeira, I have a third answer. Another possibility is, why don't we say that it's a kli sharet sitting on the ground, and he replaces it and puts it back into a kli sharet on the ground? The assumption would be that in order for a kli sharet to be functional, it has to be in the hands of the kohen. It must be in the kohen's hands. He must be holding it in order for the kli sharet to be functional. So what do you see from this? The fact that the Gemara did not give such an answer, Ela Shema Mina, Komsi Mikli Shal Gabei Akarka. From this you conclude that the kli sharet does not have to be in the hand of the kohen in order to function like a kli sharet. That means that you could take the kometz out of a kli that's al gabei karka and that'll be fine. Or you can place the mincha into a kli sharet that's on the ground and that would work. Gemara says, Kanagat v'bayad yibaylon avyime. You are touching a question that was asked by Yavime. Tani, because Avime, Tani Menachot, Be Rav Chista. Avime was learning Masechet Menachot, Eitzel Rav Chista. Avime, Be Rav Chista, Tani? Wait a minute. Avime was a student in the Beis Medrash of Rav Chista, and he was learning from Chista. Vama Rav Chista, don't we have a quote from Rav Chista that says, Kol fei tabe, bali me Avime. I took many wonderful hits from Avime Allah. The Hashmaita on this, Limud, in that he learned from Rav Chista. Avime was the Rebbe, and Rav Chista took abuse, verbal abuse, or whatever it was from Avime, who was teaching him, and this is one of the things that he learned. Bal achriz, someone has to do achraza. There's a achraza when you have to do announcements, whether it's a demand on you to announce, whether it's by an Aveda, whether it's by the Shuma Yutomim, where you have to assess the value of a property that we're going to sell off, that Beis Din is forced to sell off. In that case, Ritzufim, we have a stira there. There's a stira between Mishnayot. One says 30 days, one says 60 days. The way to reconcile that stira is to say, if he does a Ritzufim, he does 30 days straight, then you only need 30 days. Sheni v'chamishi, if you only do it on Mondays and Thursdays, then you have to do it for 60 days. So either you do it 30 days straight, or you do Monday and Thursday for 60 days. And so how do you reconcile between them? So you see from here that Avime was the Rebbe of Rav Chista, was a teacher of Rav Chista. So why was it that Avime is learning Menachot by Rav Chista? So Avime Masechta it akra it akarle. He forgot Masech Menachot. He had known it, he had learned it, but he had lost it. He had forgotten it over time, and he wanted to refresh and renew it. He went back to Rav Chisla at Kure Gamre to remember, to reteach him the Masechet Minachot. So he says, if Avime is really the Rebbe, why didn't Avime call for Rav Chisla to come to him? Why is Avime going to Rav Chisla? Rav Chisla should have come to Avime. That would be good mazel if he goes, shows some humility, and goes to the student and learns there.
As Rashi terms it, Yagati Umatzati.
That maybe that would help him in remembering Masechet Menachot. So therefore, he goes to learn by Rav Chisda. We haven't gotten to the question yet. All right. So now, here's the question. Paga be Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman bumps into Avime. Amalei, Ketzad Komtzim. How do you do a kamitza? Amalei kli zeh. He points to this kli on the ground. Amalei b'chi kum zim kli shal gavi karka. And you really do a kamitza for a kli on the ground? Amalei d'magbalei kohen. The kohen picks it up. Ketzem mekadshin et menachot. How do you do kiddush menachot? Amalei nodal kli zeh. You put in this kli. V'chi mekadshin kli shal gavi karka. Again, he points to a kli on the karka. He says you can do that. That you can do on a karka. Amalei d'magbalei kohen. So the kohen has to raise the kli. Amalei imkein utzrachta gimel kohanim. According to you, Avime, you need three kohanim to do the avodah of the mincha. Question that was raised by Rav Nachman is a kli al gavi karka good enough to be mekadish the mincha and to be komets mitoch a kli? Avimi in both instances answers in the negative and says no, that your kohen would have to pick it up. Tosos asks over here, then why did he point to the kli on the ground and say this is a good kli? What's he teaching him? He said, this kli, you could do it out of this kli. What is that teaching him? He has to pick it up. He didn't tell him any information that was useful. So Tosos offers two possibilities. One, there was a wooden kli on the floor, and therefore he was indicating to him that, like Shitas Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, that a kli eitz can be a kli sharet. That's one possibility of the chiddush. Or that even though it wasn't nimshach, even though it was not anointed to be a kli sharet, we have a principle in kli sharet that avadoto mechanchato. If you do avodo, the kli, it automatically is mechanechet, brings it into the status of kli sharet. So one of those two things maybe he was trying to teach him when he pointed to the kli on the ground. You could use this kli right here. Either because it was made out of wood or because it wasn't used yet as a kli sharet. But it's clear that he didn't teach him anything about kli sharet because pointed on the ground, he said that's not good. You have to, the kohen has to pick it up. But in answering in the negative about a kli al gavi akarka, let's think about how you do a mincha. If you have to do a mincha, we know that all of avodah in the mikdash should be done with the right hand. So now I come along and I want to have a mincha that I'm going to take a kometz out of. Well, someone has to be holding the kli sharet that the mincha is contained within. If he's holding the kli sharet within which the mincha is contained, he's using his right hand to hold that kli sharet. I can't do the kometz now because he needs his right hand to do the kometz. Bring another kohen into the picture. That kohen does the kometz. Now that kohen has the kometz in his right hand. He has to place it into a new kli sharet. Well, who's holding that kli sharet? If he holds the kli sharet, it's going to be in his left hand. That doesn't work. You need another kohen to hold the next kli sharet in which he's going to place the kometz in his right hand. So it's going to require three kohanim to do kmitzat mincha. One to hold the kli sharet in which the mincha is contained, one to hold the kli sharet which the kometz is going to, and one kohen to actually do the kometz and move it from one to the other. That was Rabbi Yirmiyah said that to Rabbi Zerot. I conclude that from our sugya that that's the case. The shayla, the question is, he says, is that really true? So he says, you just got into the question that Rabbi Yirmiyah was asked, and Rabbi Yirmiyah asked it in the negative. Rabbi Yirmiyah said, no, that you can't do this. So Rabbi Yirmiyah was trying to midayik out of our sugya that you can do this out of the karka. Rabbi Yirmiyah answered in the negative and said, no, you cannot do this off the karka.
You can't use two kohanim. The first kohen puts down the first kli, and when the second kohen is ready to be mekadesh in the kli.
Okay, yes. Basically, it would be faster. It's just easier to do with two kohanim. Otherwise, he has to put the mincha down. He's holding the kometz in his hand. You can't lose any of it. Yeah, it's much easier because you don't want to lose anything. If you lose any piece of the kometz, it's no good. So you want to do it straight. If he has to wait for him to put down the mez and bring up the other kli sharet, it would be the same question, by the way. If he had two kohanim, the question would be the exact same. We would see. But you need three kohanim. So Amalei, Utei Tzricha Yud Gimel Kitamid. Vimi says back to him, what's the big deal? By the Karban Tamid, we have 13 kohanim working on the Karban Tamid. What's the big deal? Three kohanim work on the mincha. I mean, why is that problematic? What? You're asking me that the three kohanim work on the mincha. Okay, yeah. There are three kohanim working on the mincha. What's wrong with that? So it says, Eitevei, Zeaklau. Kol ha-kometz, v'notein b'kli, ha-molich, v'amaktir, le'chol davar shedarko le'chol, v'chulei. Here we're talking about a machshevet psul. A person has a machshevet pigul. Then it can be done. Kol ha-kometz, v'notein b'kli, v'amolich, v'amaktir. In all of these cases, you can have a machshevet psul. Le'chol davar shedarko le'chol. V'ilu, magbia loktoni. Doesn't say here anything about the kohen who is magbia the kli sharet. Well, if it's the kohen, if you need a kohen to be magbia the kli sharet, then he's involved in the process. And why can't he have a machshova zara, machshova psula? Why can't he have a machshova that affects the kohenets over here? So when I said, no, Tana seder avodot, nakit, velo seder kohanim. Over there he's enumerating the avodot that are done, that can have or can be impacted by machshova. True, you need a kohen for the agba. You need a kohen to be involved in the process, but that's not what the Mishnah is interested in. The Mishnah is interested in telling us which kohanim are involved in avodot that have impact in terms of machshava. So yes, you need a kohen to be magbia the kli sharet. But number one, that's not an avoda. That's a quasi avoda. And number two is the machshava on that will not impact. So the Mishnah is not going to enumerate it because it's not relevant to what the Mishnah is discussing. It's not enumerating how many kohanim are involved in the mincha. It's enumerating to us what are classified as avodot for machshava zara, machshava psula, and how many of those are there. There are four of them. We're not enumerating all the kohanim involved in the mincha.
According to the Miuchas L'Rashba,
No, Tzvi is saying that the Rashi, Mizdaik out of Rashi, that Otoshu Kohen Acharusei Ozeh, the Mishnah is just enumerating what Kohen could do. A Kohen can't be involved in both Agbah and the other items. That is true, although you can see from the other answers of the Gemara that the focus is on the ability to make something Pasul and Avoda, which the Magbiah doesn't have that status, and you'll see that from the next question, which I think is probably the stronger explanation of why it wasn't included in that previous Mishnah. So, Baminei made the Rav Sheshit. Ma'olu kumotz mikli shagabe karko. What's the din? Can you take a kmitza off something that's off the karko? Amalei pokhazi ma'avdin legav. Go, let's go see what they do inside. Inside means with regards to the lechem ha'panim. Against the lechem ha'panim, which is a type of mincha. Let's see how they work. Arba'a kohanim nichnasim. Four kohanim go in. Shnayim biyadam beiz starim. Two of them have the two sets of six, meaning that each one has a set of six which are going to go onto the shulchan. And shnayim biyadam shnei bazichim. And two of them have the two bazichim that go on the shulchan. Arba'a mikadmim lifnehem. And four go in before them. Shnayim litol shnei starim. Two of those kohanim take off the 12 lechem apanim that are on the shulchan currently. Each one takes off six. Ubet l'tol beis basichin. And then two of those kohanim are taking the present basichim of livona that is on the shulchan, taking it off to be makrivit. So you have four kohanim involved in the avoda of the lechem apanim. Four bringing in the new lechem apanim and new basichim. Four taking off the old lechem apanim and the old basichim. V'ilu, if you're right, magbia et ha-shulchan lo k'tani. It doesn't say here that they have a kohen in there who lifts up the shulchan. Shulchan's a klisha rate. If you can't do something of a klisha rate ala karka, where's the kohen that has to lift the shulchan in order for them to take the lechem apanim off and put the lechem apanim on, or put the, really, it's really the bazichin, to take the bazichim off and to put the lechem apanim down. Where's that kohen? You have lechem apanim on the shulchan. You have bazichim on the shulchan. Together, they constitute the lechem apanim or the mincha here. What happens now is you take the bazichim off the shulchan and you makriv them. Just like you take the komets out of the mincha and you makriv that, here you take the bazichim off the shulchan and you makriv it. So that komets, what's left over? The lechem apanim, which is nechal kohanim. And same too with the mincha, the shi'areha are nechal kohanim. So you have a perfect match here between the mincha and what happens with the lechem apanim. If you're going to demand by the mincha that you raise the kli sharet in order to take the komets off of it, then so too over here we should demand that you'll raise the shulchan in order to take the bazichim off. And the same would be true with the placement maybe of the lechem apanim down. If you consider it to be placed in a kli sharet, maybe when you place the lechem apanim down, you have to place it down into a kli sharet, including the bazichim. When you place everything down, you have to place it into a kli sharet in order to take the komets off. So maybe you have to raise it for that process as well. So we see that that's not the case. I don't see a kohen enumerated here. All I see is four and four. There's nobody enumerated in terms of the kohanim to lift the shulchan. Lav amar tatam sever avodot nakat. Achanami sever avodot nakat. Over here, so this is why I think the answer before is not like that one kohen can do. We're talking about avodot. We're talking about real avodot that need to be done. We're not talking about some kohen is just a functionary that he just stands there and holds up the shulchan. It might be necessary to do it, but it's not an avodah in itself. As Rashi calls it, ha'ba lav min ha'avodot chashuvot hu. It's not an important avodah. It's a functional avodah, but not an avodah that is of significance. And therefore the Mishnah doesn't enumerate it. I think so. I mean, Rashi calls it an avoda lo chashuva. I don't know exactly. I would have called it not an avoda at all. Rashi still calls it an avoda lo chashuva. I'm assuming that you cannot be pasul de machshava. That's what the previous answer. That's what I was saying to Tzvi. I think the previous way to explain the answer of the Gemara is the same way. That it's not chashuv in the sense that you can't have machshava about it. Machshava psula does not impact over here, and therefore it's not classified as an avoda chashuva. Right, but you know that the Gemara equates the two answers. I'm telling you what I think, and that's why I thought before to explain the Gemara that way, not like the Rashba does, because I think the answer here, it's clear that we're talking about something that's not considered classified like an avoda, whether it's an avoda not chashuv or not an avoda at all, that you can debate depending on which Rashi you look at. If you look at the Rashi, the previous Rashi, or this Rashi, that's debatable how Rashi classifies it. But nevertheless, it's not something within the classification that you want to mention in the Mishnah. Midami, how are these comparable, these cases? Hotam lo nochit leminyano de kohen. In the first case, it just mentions what one kohen can do. Here it does enumerate how many kohanim are involved. It says arba kohanim nichasim arba yotzim. So here the Mishnah is mentioning an enumeration of kohanim. Over there, it's just mentioning avodot. It doesn't mention kohanim at all. It just says this are the avodot that are done. Here it's mentioning not only avodot but the kohanim that are the ones who do the avodah. If you're doing that, you may as well mention all the kohanim that are involved.
The kohanim and what each of them does. right?
So he meito. If that's the case, l'dnei magbia, he should be included. Elishma mina. Komtzim mikli shalgabe karka. Elishma mina. Conclusion is that you can be komets mikli shalgabe karka. So this would accord with the position of Rabbi Yirmiyah before. Rabbi Yirmiyah was medayik out of our sugya that the Gemara didn't answer that way. That you can be komets. That you're allowed to take the komets out of a kli shalgabe karka, or you can place something into a kli shalgabe karka. That's fine. That works. So this will accord Rabbi Yirmiyah's position. It's not like Avime. Avime who said that you can't do it off the karka. It's not like Avime in this case. So Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Pshitali. So now Rabbi tries to, and this might sort out some of the differences here in opinion. Pshitali, Komets Nikli Shal Gabi Karka. You're allowed to do a Kamitza off a Kli on the karka. Shekein Matzinu Besiluk Bazichin. So as we said before, we equated that with the removal of the Bazichin from on the Shulchan. So it's just like the Shulchan's on the ground and nobody's Magbia it. So to over here, you won't have to Magbia the Kli Shereid in order to take off the Komets. Now, Mikadshim Mincha B'Kli Shal Gabi Karka. You're allowed to place the Mincha into a Kli that's on the karka. Shekein Matzinu Besiluk Bazichin. So I said before, when you place the items on the Shulchan, that's also classified by putting it into a kli sharet. There you have to place the lechem and the bazikin onto the shulchan, and the shulchan's on the ground again. So there I'm fine with it. But I have a question. This is my question. Bai Rovo. Kiddush komets mai. What about the mikadish, the komets itself? I can place the mincha entirely into a kli on the ground. I can take the komets out of that mincha from a kli on the ground. The komets that I roof and there has to be placed into a kli sharet. Can that kli sharet be on the ground? That's Rovo's question now. Bai Rovo. Rovo says, this is my question. Kiddush komets mai. What's the din? Mi mincha yofinenla. We learned it out from a mincha. And therefore, just like a mincha can be done on the ground, so too the komets can be done on the ground. Oh, midam yofinela. Or do we learn it out from dam? By kabbalat adam, you can't do kabbalat adam, the kli sharet sitting on the floor. When you do kabbalat adam, you have to be holding the kli in order to do kabbalat adam. So too over here, the komets, remember before, the komets is the equivalent of shchita. The placement of the komets into the kli is the equivalent of kabbalat adam. If kabbalat adam has to be done with the kohen holding the kli sharet, maybe the komets being placed at the kli sharet, it has to be done with the kohen holding the kli sharet.
The kabbalat adam, that's the only thing the kohen is doing. In other words, blood is spreading in by itself, and that's what the kohen does. He holds the kli.
So that would be the other tzad. Mid mincha damim. It's not like blood. It's different than blood over here, and we classify it like the mincha. That's exactly here. You have an action. When you're doing the action, then we don't require you to be a maxi the kli sharet. When you're not doing the action, then we require you to be holding the kli sharet. That would be the other tzad of Rava's question. The two tzadim of Rava's question. So now the Gemara says, other pashto, he answered, midam yofinanla. We do learn it out of dam. Learn out of the dam, and that's the equation. Rashi here quotes, we quoted this in the beginning of Masechta, I quoted this from Zvachim, that there's a Rashi in Zvachim that has the same thing. But Rashi says over here again, kmitza keneged shkita, kiddush komets keneged kabbalat adam, holacha is like holacha, and aktaraz keneged zrikat adam. Just a reminder that the four avodot match up between the mincha and the Behema. Now, he says, Hadar Pashto, he says, the answer is, Midam Yofinan, we learn out of blood. Umiyama Rabba Hachi. Does Rabba really make this equation that we learn out of Dam? Vayitmar, we had a question. Komet Shechelko Bishnei Kelim. You took a komet, you divided it in half, and you placed it into two different klisharet. Is that kasher or not kasher? Rav Nachman Amar Eino Kadosh, it doesn't work. Rabba Amar Kadosh. Rabba says it does work. Vim Ito, if Rabba really believes in this equation between Dam and Mincha, Leilif Midam. Shalina from Dam, and Dam that you're Mekabel into two Kelim does not work. That doesn't work. Kabbalat Adam into two different Kelim does not work. Whereas the Kabbalat Komets, now he's saying that when doing it into two Kelim, does work. So where's that equation between Dam? We're going to get to it in a second about why the Dam doesn't work into two Kelim. So Rabba says, Hadar Bei Rabba Mehoi. Rabba reversed his position. Which one did he reverse? He reversed the position where he argued on Rabbi Nachman. He eventually acquiesced to his Rebbe, Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman was his Rebbe, and in the end he said, Rabbi Nachman's right, that it's Enu Kadosh, because we compare it to Dam. And the question that you're asking, Midam Yidolon, Delo Kiddush V'Chatzayin. How do we know Dam is not Kadosh when you do it into two different kelim, the chatzayim?
We have specific cases in Zvachim about two kelim with dam, and one goes outside, that doesn't go outside.
Correct. So here we have differentiate between how much dam goes into each one. Dam minolan, the low kiddush lechatzayim doesn't work in the halves. Itani Rav Tachlifa ben Shaul, kidesh pachot mikidei hazaab klizeh. Upachot mikidei hazaab klizeh is the answer to your question, that there's not enough. If you have less than kidei hazaab in each kli, now this is not talking about dam here. Here we're talking about the paraduma. It's talking about mikadesh the mayim and the efer together. If he does less than a kidei hazaab in one one kli and this l'kdei azah in one kli lo kidesh. It doesn't work. If you mix them later, that doesn't work. You have to be mekadesh him to kli and not for l'kdei azah. V'ibay lo b'dam mai. And there we ask, what's the deal with the dam as compared to the para aduma? Hilchotehi. It's alocha l'moshe misinai. That's the source for the din by para aduma. We don't extrapolate from alocha l'moshe misinai. Alocha l'moshe misinai is specific to the location, and we don't extrapolate from it. So therefore, it's true by para, not true by dam. Oh, dilmahatam mai taima. What's the reason by the para aduma? That you have to do tvila into the mayim, that it has to be enough of the mayim to do a tvila into it from the start. Over here it also says that you must have sufficient dam to do the hazaot afterwards, and then in the first place when it goes into the kli. V'itmar. And that we said, Amar Abzika, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Af bedam lo kidesh. Even with the dam it doesn't work. So Amar Rabbi Tani and Amar Yochai, we have a break that supports this. This is a lima that we've seen many times in Zbachim. The entire Gemara now, for the next, almost to the bottom of the Amud, is a same Gemara that we saw in Zvachim with some shinuim, with little changes. I'll note the changes here. One of them is that Amar Rabba, Il Tanya Namihochi. Over here it says Tanya Namihochi, and the Gemara in Zvachim says Il Tanya, not the Tanya Namihochi, which is Batavau. Velo, over here it says Maspig, there it says Misapig. It probably should be Misapig. You have to dip your finger into the blood to do the Hazayot. You can't wipe it on the side of the Kli to get the Dam. Badam, Shei Badam Shur Tvila Mi Karo. Badam teaches you that you have to have enough Dam in the Kli from the start that is enough to do all the Hazayot in that Kli. Min hadam should be inyan. It's only for the dam inyan, which the Gemara will come back and explain what that is. Ve'itzrach lemichta betaval, ve'itzrach lemichta bedam. We need both of these items. Di katav rachmana betaval. If I only had betaval havamina, I would have thought afagav delo kibel shir tvila miikaro. If I had just the word betaval, I would say I have to dip my finger in it. So fine, I'll dip my finger into it, but that would not mean that I have to have enough dam in the first place when I do the kabbalat dam. I don't have to have a full shir of all the hazayot. I can dip it. I can put it in multiple kelim, mix them later, and I'll have my hazayah and I'll do it from there. Katav rachmana bedam. So therefore, the Torah says bedam demands that from the start you have enough in the kabbalat dam for all the hazayot. V'kadav rachmana bedam. Had I just written bedam, which is the requirement that I have all the hazayot, have a mina afilu maspig. I would have thought that okay, fine, I have all the dam in one kli, but then I could just take the blood off the walls of the kli and there'd be enough. I don't have to dip it in to do hazayot. Min adam should be inyan. What does that teach you? Imute mai. What does that come to exclude? Amarova limute shirayim should be etzba. Comes to exclude that was left over in your finger. That means that you need to do a separate dip for every hazayah. You can't do one hazayah, and if you have blood left in your finger, do another hazayah. You must dip each time independently for each hazayah. And the shirayim and the etzbar are not classified to be good dam in order to do it. Misayelei l'Rabbi Elazar. This helps the position of Rabbi Elazar. D'amar shirayim shebetzba psulim. Who says that the shirayim on the etzbar are pasul? Amrei Ravin bar Ravada the Rovo. Amrei Talmidech Amar Rav Amram. So over here, this is a difficulty. The Gemara in Zvachim has a problem in the Girsa. In the Girsa in Zvachim, it says Amrei Ravin bar Rav Ado the Rav. There, everybody changes that to Rava. Bach has a girsa that says Amar Talmidai, then my Talmid said this, or Amrei Talmidech, or your Talmid said this. So based on that, it would make a difference of who Rav Amram is a Talmid of. Is a Rav Amram a Talmid of Rav Avin bar Rav Ado or Rava? Based on whether you say Talmidai or Talmidcha. So here our girsa is Amrei Talmidcha. The your Talmid says Amar Rav Amram Tanina. The Gemara in Zvachim says Tanina here, not Tanyo. Hayam Azeh v'nitzah hazam yado. He was sprinkling the blood, and one of them went off his finger. Im achlo hiza toun kibus. If before he completes all the hazaot, it gets on his beged, he needs kibus. Mishiza, when he finishes all of them, ain't toun kibus. He doesn't need laundering. My laugh. The explanation is like what I just said now. Achlo gamar hazaoto. Until he finishes all the hazaot, then it's still problematic. Mishi gamar hazaoto. And when he finishes all the hazaoto, then it's no longer a problem of kibus. Shmamina, shirayim shvetzvak shirim. That will show you that the shirayim the etzvak shirim. Now this goes to another din that we learned in Zvachim, that a dam chatat that gets onto a baguette of the Kohen requires kibus. Kibus v'makom kadosh. Requires laundering in the azarah itself. But it's only true of dam of a chatat that is kasher. As we dam chatat that could go on the mizbeach, if it ends up on a baguette, then you have to be mechabes the baguette. So the suggestion now is that if I have all these hazayot to do, I start the process of hazayot, it sounds from this mishnah that if, as long as I'm in the process of doing the hazayot, any blood that comes off my finger onto my baguette, I'm going to have to do kibus for it. The implications of that are that the shirayim on your fingers are good blood. Because otherwise, why would what's on your finger now touches your baguette? Why would you have to do kibbutz on it? It's not kasher for hazayah. Must be that it is kasher for hazayah, and that would go against the position of Rabbi Lazar.
If you look at it, then it's a question that you have not finished the process of hazayah that you're supposed to do. And, you know, so until you finish it, you're still still engaged in...
But the demand here is that each hazayah requires a separate dipping. Each hazayah is an independent entity and hazayah, that's how you can make the shiraim psul. There's no shiraim. If you think they're all one entity, then there's no shiraim here. You know that if it hits the mizbech, the dudu tzirika, hits the mizbech and bounces onto you, you don't have to do kibbutz. Because the mitzvah is completed. Even if there's more hazayot to go. So we know that each hazayah is looked independently when it comes to this. So then the answer is no. Don't read it that way. As long as it's still on your finger and the hazayah hasn't been executed, then if it falls on your beged when you dipped it in, and now before you did the hazayah it falls on your beged, then you require kibbutz. If once it goes out of your hand and it's been sprinkled when it's in the motion already to be sprinkled, then mimashi nishar into un kibbutz. Now here in our Gemara it has mimashi nishar. That is not in the Gemara in Zvachim. Over here it says v'nitzeh mamash nishar. Then what remains falls on your beged, then ain't ta'un kibbutz. That doesn't require kibbutz, which means the shiraim on your finger do not require kibbutz. In our Gemara, the Gemara in Zvachim, it doesn't have mimash nishar. So you could read it there. Mishiyatzta azam yado v'nitzah ain't ta'un kibbutz. That if it bounced, if that zrika itself hit you, or it hit the mizbech that we said before and then bounced off onto you, that maybe that wouldn't require kibbutz. That you could read into the Gemara Zvachim. Here you can't do that because here it says mimash nishar. What's left over? Now, Eitve Abaye. Abaye says, wait a minute. You think that once you've done the hazayah, whatever's left on your finger, the shiraim are psulim. But let's read that we have this din by the paraduma. Eitve Abaye. Gamar malazot. When you finish doing all the hazayot, the sheva hazayot that you do with the blood of the paraduma, kineged petach omoed on harazitim, mekaneach yado begufa shel para. You wipe your hand off onto the gufa para. Gamarin. Only once you've completed all the hazayot. Lo gamar lo. But if you don't finish all of them, you don't do it. What's the implications from that again? That you don't have to wipe it off in the interim because the blood on your hand is still kasher v'hazayah. So you don't have to wipe it out. Between each hazayah, you don't have to wipe off the blood because whatever's on your finger is still ra'oi to do hazayot with. And that would imply that it's not like what we're saying here, that the shiraim on the etzba are kasherim based on that. Now, why do you wipe it off on the gufa para? Why do you wipe it off on the gufa para? Rashi says in Zvachim that the reason you wipe it off on the gufa para is because the gufa para is going to be nisraf. And it says about the para duma, et damav al pirsha yisrof. Right, that you have to be seref, the dam al pirsha yisrof. So there's a pasuk that says that you put everything together, the seref et apara. When you do the seref et apara, you have everything together, including the dam. So when you wipe it on the gufa para, where's the gufa para going? It's going to be nisraf. So it's going to be nisraf. The dam will end up being nisraf and you'll accomplish what you want. That's what Rashi says in Zvachim. Rashi over here says that Sharei Para Lefanav, the Para is right in front of him, Nisrefet Achar Shireid Minahar. It only gets burnt when he leaves the Har later on and goes down. So here he wipes down the Gufa Para so that it will get burnt when it goes down. Tosfos over here says, I don't know what Rashi is saying. He says that there's no reason based on the fact that the Para is going down later that you have to wipe your hand on it. Here, he says he thinks Rashi is quoting the Pasuk and he means to quote the end of the Pasuk. He says, Dichtiv Asarafet Para Leinav. He means, no, not that Saraf Abar, but the remainder of that pasuk that says everything gets burnt, including the dam. So that's Rashi. Now, we have a problem, because we think here that Shiraim are Ksherim, according to this Mishnah. Then Rova answers him and says no. Amarle, Gomar Mikaneach Yado. If he finished up the whole process, he wipes his entire hand on the Beima. Lo Gomar, when he didn't finish, Mikaneach Etzbo, he wipes only his finger. So Nehemiah says, all right. Bishlama Gomar Mikaneach Yado Begufay Shel Parah. If he finished the whole process, he wipes his hand off on the Gufay Shel Parah, Dichtiv, Saraphet HaParah Le'enav. You're Saraphet HaParah Le'enav. Again, that the Shreifa includes the dam. So that's why it makes sense that. Oh, Logamar, Mekaneach, it's both. Well, if you say when he's not finished, he wipes his finger off, B'mai Mekaneach. What is he wiping his finger off on? What's the problem? Rashi over here says that there's a big problem. And here, this Rashi, Tosfos quotes in Zvachim and jumps over Rashi. Rashi in Zvachim gives a different explanation. Rashi over here says the problem is, the Gufa Para is not where he's doing the Hazal from. There are two separate locations. He does Hazal in one location, he does his favorite part another location. That means between each hazayah, he's got to run down to the para duma below, wipe it off, come back up, run down, wipe it off. That doesn't make much sense. That's what Gemara says. My mekanech. That's what Rashi says over here. Rashi in Zvachim says because if he wipes off his finger on the para duma, nimim, the hairs from the para duma will get stuck on his finger, and it'll be a chatzitza for the remaining hazot that he has to do. When he's finished and he wipes his hands off, fine. So hair gets on his hand. We don't worry about it because he's done. But during the process, if he wipes his finger off and gets hairs on there, that's gonna be a chatzitza for the next hazayah when he dips his finger in. So that won't work to wipe it off. only Gufa Para. Tosafot over there, and as well over here, mentions it. But Tosafot over there says, I don't understand Rashi. It's clear that even though the Para, the Sreifada Para and Azayot aren't done maybe exactly in the same location, they can be adjacent. They both have to be Petach Omoed. They can be right next to each other. They don't have to be far away from each other. I know what Rashi's talking about. You're raiding a harias, go all the way down the mountain. You don't have to go down the mountain to do the burning. The Sreifa can be in the same place, just a little bit over from the place that you do the Hazayot. And based on that, Tosafot says, I don't understand. He thinks that the Rashi in Zvachim is right. The problem here is Chatzitza Mimin, and Rashi himself over here writes a different reason than he wrote in Zvachim, and therefore Tosafot thinks that the Rashi in Zvachim is the correct answer. So the answer, what is Rabbi Mekaneach? So we saw this again in Zvachim. Am Rabbi Besvat Mizrak. You wipe it off on the rim of the Kli, and that's why Kedichtiv in Ezra, when it describes the Kli Sheret, it calls them Kapurei Zahav. Kapurei Zahav, the word Kapara means to wipe away, to clean off. And why are they called Kapurei Zahav? Why are they called to be wiped off? Because the Kohanim wipe their fingers on the Kli to remove the blood from the Kli. Alright, so just to summarize here, we had a question about whether a Kli Sheret, can you do a Voda with a Kli Sheret when it's ala karka? I do the Kli Sheret ala karka, can I take a Kometz off? Can I place the Mincha in? What can I do? Rava says it's clear to me that when it comes to a placement of the Mincha into the Kli Sheret and taking the Kometz out of that Kli Sheret, it can be done on the karka. That we learn out of the Lechem Apanim from the Bazichim. That we are conclusive about. The only question we had was about the Kometz that's taken off, can that be placed into a Kli Sheret that's not on the ground? We had a Safek about it. In the end, Rava says, no, you can't do it because it's like Dam. It's like Kabbalat Adam. Just like Kabbalat Adam, the Kli Sheret has to be held by the Kohen, so to here, by the Kabbalat Kometz, it has to be held by the Kohen in his hand. By the way, that might be the solution between Avimei, to solve this question between Avimei and the other Shita. Rabbi Yirmiya and Rava both conclude here, and the other Gemara over here, we concluded that Kli Sheret can be on the ground, and Avimei said it can't be on the ground. Now, Avimei addresses two cases. He has Mikachin Kli Al Gabi Akarka. Maybe he's talking about the Kometz over there. And the other question was, Komsimi Kli Shal Karbeka. So clear, when he says Komsimi Kli Shal Karbeka, Avimei is arguing. But when it says that he mekadesh b'kli al gabei karka, it might be that he's talking about the kiddush hakometz. If he's talking about the kiddush hakometz, maybe we can differentiate and say that we agree with Avimei there and that cannot be on the karka. The Gemara then goes on to a sidetrack and says, does Rava really compare kometz to dam? Because if Rava really compared kometz to dam, how does he allow you to put a kometz into two different kelim, half a kometz in this kli and half a kometz in the other kli? By dam, that's not allowed. When I says that Rava changed his mind, he says by a kometz it's pasul. Originally he said it was kasher. He reversed his position and agreed with Rav Nachman in the end that it is pasul now. It's pasul, then he is comparing it to dam. Then the Gemara says, well, how do you know by dam it's problematic? That the Gemara learns out from paraduma. The paraduma, it's inappropriate to be capture the waters and be mekadesh the waters in two separate kelim. So too, by dam, you can't capture in two separate kelim. And that's what the lima we have. The Gemara wants to know, okay, that should be misaili Rav Elazar, that should help Rav Elazar, that from that limud, we got onto another sidetrack, which is v'davah b'dam min adam. So over there, we learn min adam, that you have to do a separate dip for every hazayah. So that will help Rav Elazar, who says that anything left on your finger after hazayah is not classified to be kosher for a new hazayah.
We're done with Rava, we're done with the Indian of...
Right, we're done with Kiddush HaKemitza. There we concluded you need to hold it in your hand. We're done with the fact that Rava compares Kemitza to Dam. That's true in all cases, and he does compare it to Dam. We're even done with Dam. We know that Dam cannot be captured in two kelim. What we're up to now is that you have to do a separate hazayah for each hazayah. You have to do a separate dipping and hazayah. From that, we wanted to suggest, like this supports Rabbi Elazar's position, that whatever's left on your etzba after the hazayah is not really good or kosher or Dam. We want to challenge that from Para Duma. It sounds like from the Para Duma that you don't have to go back and do it again, or by the Kibbutz Begadim, by Hazayot Bifnim. You do have to do Kibbutz Begadim until you get the end of the process. Same thing with the Para Duma, you don't wipe your hand until the end of the process. Both instances, we said, no, you read it wrong. There is a Kinuach in between. The Kibbutz Begadim only required until the point of Hazayah, each Hazayah separately. So to by the Para Duma, you'll have a Kinuach of each Hazayah, and therefore whatever's left over in your finger is Pasul. All right, that's just a quick summary of what we had in the conclusion. Okay, we're going to stop over here because Gemara is now going to discuss Rabbi Elazar's position, and that's going to take us way into tomorrow's daf.
Shikha.